God. Let me have everybody's attention right now. How's everybody doing? All right. And traffic not too bad, huh? Look, you may or may not already know that Pastor Rick is sick. And so he won't be here tonight, so y'all pray for him. And we've got a guest preacher coming, but he's stuck on Two Notch Road. And he just turned onto Sparkleberry Road Extension. And I think he just turned left on North Springs a minute ago. So he'll be here right away. So I think we'll go ahead and get started. And it's so good to see everybody. And, you know, I've been sending emails about praying one for another. With all this sickness and stuff, boy, we need to pray one for another. So let's keep that in mind tonight, tomorrow, the next day. But let's go ahead and get started, okay? And then we'll just see what the Lord does for us tonight. And there's Brother Joaquin seeing somebody come in. So a lot of bow for prayer, okay? Father, we come tonight to thank you for the privilege to have a desire in our heart to be at the house of God. Lord, it seemed like for many of us, most of us, it was a struggle to get here with the traffic. Lord, you know all about that. And Lord, why we just can't help it, Lord, you know the need in everybody. I pray that you'll help those that are still trying to get here, Lord, safely. That's the most important thing. And then, Lord, when we all get here, we'll just worship together in spirit and truth. We pray for our pastor tonight, Lord, you'll touch him in his body. Lord, he's got a little low-grade fever right now, and I pray you'll help that fever to go away and have him good to go, ready to go this weekend. Lord, you know every need for everybody, and we'll praise you for what you do. Bless the singing and the fellowship together. In Christ's name, amen. All right, of all people that's trying to get here are the Masqueliers. Brian is going to lead us in a song. Come on, Brian.
Stand and sing with us. 506, one of the most beloved hymns, Blessed Assurance. 506, stand together and sing it out. On the first verse.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Thank you, Brian, for that great, great song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Why don't we get one or two of you while we're still kind of getting settled down? Somebody just stand and give a word of testimony for the Lord. Somebody, quick. Yes. All right, one more testimony. Yes, Miss Edame. And we thank you, Miss Edame, for calling those of us that have been sick. So God bless you. Maybe one more, just a quick. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Somebody else, real quick. Yes, ma'am. Amen. He's been good, hasn't he, Sister Martha? He sure has. All right. Brian, you got another song? You got announcements?
Yeah.
My son has announcements.
Nothing major, just the stuff going on this weekend. I just hope you'll keep it in mind tomorrow. And nothing's changed as far as I know. If something changes because of sickness or otherwise, we'll let you know. But everything's still on. That's tomorrow night at the Waterford at 7 o'clock. Down at the Waterford, that service is on for tomorrow. And then Saturday, the ladies are meeting to go up to Monroe, Solid Rock Baptist Church, for their ladies' meeting, where Miss Judy and others will be speaking. And y'all are leaving here at 7:30 sharp on Saturday morning. I was told to make sure you eat before you come because there will be no pit stops on the way for a biscuit or anything like that. So if you think you'll be hungry, maybe stop before you get here and get you something. But 7:30 is when the bus is pulling out, so you don't want to miss that. And men, we'll be here at 10 o'clock Saturday morning to meet and then go knock on doors telling folks about Jesus. And so we need every man here for that to make sure we get the gospel out as far as we can. Now, Sunday will be our regular service. It's 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 church service. And don't forget, Sunday morning, we're planning on taking pledges for the Jubilee. So I hope you're praying and ask the Lord to lay an amount in your heart that God wants you to give to be a part of that ladies' Jubilee ministry that will be coming up in June here at our church. All right, y'all got that? How about stand and sing number 57? At Calvary, one of the great hymns of the faith. 57, stand and sing it out with us. Watch me now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. To me, there my burden soul found everything at Calvary.
Yes, third.
Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
The fourth verse is one big exclamation. The songwriter couldn't say anything except, oh. So I love how that starts. So sing that fourth verse out.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
All right, you can be seated. I think we kind of caught up on fellowship before church started. So, and with all the sickness and stuff, I think we'll be okay. And why don't you just turn around and say, hey, neighbor, or something like that. Just Brother David Roth, everybody say, hey, Brother Roth. There. All right, that's good. Good fellowship. There you go. I like that. All right. And look, really, we need to pray one for another. And so keep everybody in prayer. And And we want to see a good crowd here for Sunday school Sunday morning and church and all of that. But now we're going to go ahead and take up an offering tonight, okay? So Brother Joaquin and Brother Ed, come get that. Now, Wednesday night, the offering, unless it's marked otherwise, goes to missions. And you folks have been so graciously good at giving to missions these past year or two. And it's just, it's amazing how good you give. So just keep up the good giving. And just, I know God blessed you for that. And when you get the report every month, when we do the mission support, like we did on January report, look at the mission section on the last page where you'll see all the extra dollars that you gave to missions for specific missionaries. And it's just amazing and a blessing how you give to these people. And you know those missionaries appreciate that. They really do. And we're thankful for that. So if you need to turn in a tithe tonight or whatever, turn that into. But let's pray for this offering, okay? Brother Ed, why don't you lead us in a prayer for the offering? Yes. Amen. Amen.
Before we introduce our special speaker tonight, we'll have our special singer. Sister Martha is always such a blessing to us, and I've told her for a long time she's always been one of my favorite singers since I was just a little boy, and so I hope you'll be blessed by this song tonight.
And I know that makes me old when you look at him now. But I'm so thankful for what God's done for me, and when I was noticed that I was to sing this week, I immediately thought of it is no secret what God can do. And there's a verse in Psalms 25:14 that says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And he has certainly showed me so much in these last few months that I cannot thank him enough for. Chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Mm-hmm.
no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. What God can do.
Amen. They did, didn't they? Everybody say, hey, Brother Tim. he got here just when he needed to for the preaching. That's right. And I tell you, that track is crazy. So I don't know if it's all because of the railroad crossing or not, but it's just crazy. But I'm glad we all made it here safely. So good to see you. And again, pray for Pastor. He'll get feeling better, and you pray one for another. And Brother David Roth is on the way up here right now. And Brother David is a dear, dear friend from a long time ago. From our tabernacle days up in Greenville. And Brother David, did I teach you in any classes? Or I can't.
You substituted.
I substituted. Yeah. And so he'd been there about as long as I had. And just a dear, dear friend. And Brother Roth works with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And I think he's now something like the North American director or something like that. And travels all over. But he often comes to the Columbia area to hold revivals at the prisons here in Columbia. And you can say a little bit about that if you want to. And so Brother Roth is going to come preach to us and tell us a little bit about his work. And then he's going to preach. And then we'll just see what the Lord will do. Okay? Brother David.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Well, God is good. And he's good all the time, even in traffic in Columbia, South Carolina. I got here about 5:30, and I decided to eat something there at the Lizard Thicket right there on Two Knots Road. Finished about 6:05. My GPS said I could be here about 6:15. I just got here at almost 7:15. The traffic is tremendous. So Atlanta, Georgia doesn't have anything on Two Knots Road in Columbia, South Carolina. Praise the Lord for that. But God is still good, and he's good all the time. Amen. I just appreciate the opportunity to be here. Appreciate Brother Kraut. And we've been friends for a long time. I started Bible college in 1983, and that's when I met you there. And I tell you what, we would have exams. And I'll be honest with you, exams can be a little bit discouraging. And all the young people said, amen. But when we were walking that hallway to go to chapel, Brother Steve Kraut would be playing that piano. And he played it, and all of a sudden we started moving faster to that chapel. And we was ready to hear some singing and some preaching. So we used to have some great times in Bible college. I enjoyed it. And then, of course, we worked on staff with Brother Steve for a while there at Tabernacle 2. So I thank the Lord. I've been working with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry going on 18 years now, the 18 years in August. And with Rock of Ages, we have revival teams, and that's what I work with. So we travel from one prison to another. We hold a 3 to 4 day revival meeting. We'll witness during the day. We go right into a pod, go out on the yard in the lockup unit, also on death row, and we witness to the men one-on-one. Then we hold services every night. And so God's allowed us to work with the revival teams. Then we have chaplains. If you know Brother Steve Green, I know several of you do. He's a chaplain with Rock of Ages, and he's there at that prison all the time. Does a really good job, and we thank the Lord for him. We also have what we call the Prison Prevention Program. And that's, we take the Character Under Construction, lessons on character, and we take it to the public schools. Now, in Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, a little bit in South Carolina, not a lot, but in Georgia and Alabama, they're pretty wide open right now going to public schools with our Character Under Construction. So we have that program as well. And then we have the revival teams that goes to the juvenile. So they go from one juvenile prison or detention center to another one. And then, of course, we have our military. Just this past year, we were able to be there and in Charleston, South Carolina, at a military brig. We were at Fort Leavenworth this past November, and there'll be a group going back in the month of April. So we also have military. Then we have the foreign field. We have a large amount of missionaries that go to the foreign field, and we're in all the countries of the world, so we thank the Lord for that. And so we're just having a tremendous opportunity in the schools and the juvenile detention centers and the prisons. We have what we call the Prisoner's Bible Institute, and that's actually a correspondence course that the men that get saved can take it free of charge, and it lasts about 2 years. How many believe in leading someone to the Lord?
Amen.
After you do that, how many believe you need to disciple them?
Yes.
Well, that's what our Prisoner's Bible Institute is all about. And I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken, count the United States and even some foreign countries, we got about 17,000 active members right now working on the Prisoner's Bible Institute. So that's a real blessing. So God's blessed Rock of Ages. We just celebrated there at Gantt Street Baptist Church this past August, our 40th year. And I've been with Rock of Ages 18 years, so I thank the Lord for that. I've been the North America field representative for about a year. So what I've done, talking about North America, that means all the United States. And so I've divided up, my time across the United States in quarters. And so the Southeast, I put that during the first quarter because it snows sometime up north and out west, and I don't want to get involved in that. So the first quarter of last year, 2017, we had a good coordinators meeting, had about 40 missionaries that coordinate prisons, had a good meeting with them. Also, we had what we call the Alabama Blitz, had 220 profession of faith last year, so we thank the Lord for that good meeting. Then we had a chaplain's retreat, and I headed up those things, and we just had a good time in the Southeast. The second quarter, I went to the Midwest. We went to Farmington, Missouri. There's a large prison there, about 3,000 inmates, Bon Terre prison there near Farmington, Missouri. And I had a good meeting there, had 78 profession of faith. So we thank the Lord for that. Was also at Potosi Correctional Institute. That's also in Missouri. Had 24 saved. Went to Fort Leavenworth. And that is a military prison there. And we had a good time with the men. And they come out real strong in the services. We had 4 saved. And then we went to the Charleston Brig. And that was in the month of, June. And we had 2 saved there. The third quarter of last year, we went to the Northeast and to the Northwest. And, of course, South Carolina, we had DJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice. We had 35 saved there from the age 9 years old to the age 17. Had about 150 students, had 35 saved. We also went to Rhode Island, and there's a tremendous prison there, large prison. And the good thing about that prison is, the associate warden is an independent Baptist preacher. That's pretty good right there. So what he's done, he allowed us to visit there. And the first time I went there, we had 127 profession of faith. Well, the last day we were there, he had all the men. He took their names down. We wrote their names down. We gave it to him. He had them all in 2 different rooms, one in one cafeteria, 60 of them, 60 in another cafeteria. And we had a Bible study. We gave every one of them a Rock of Ages study Bible. We put them on the Prisoner's Bible Institute, and then we gave them a discipleship class right then. Had a tremendous time. Had 120 profession of faith. So that was a real blessing. We also, my wife and I, we flew out to Portland, Oregon. And we have some missionaries out west. that we had a banquet for them. We had some training for them. And, of course, priests in the local church there just had a tremendous time. The last year in September, we had South Carolina Blitz just right here in Columbia. And there's a good many prisons right there on Broad River Road, and we worked them. Had 193 saved, so we thank the Lord for that. The last quarter of 2017, we went back to the Midwest, Missouri, at St. Joseph, Missouri. Had 45 saved there. We went also to Tiger River, which is not that far from here, and we had 18 saved there. Went back to Bon Terre, Missouri, had 93 saved there. Went back to Fort Leavenworth last year in the month of November and had 10 saved there. So all I'm trying to say is God saves old sinners, amen, and I'm glad for that. And I appreciate churches like this that pray for us and support us, and I thank the Lord for that. So God has been good, and I'm looking forward to this year. We already had another coordinators meeting, went real well, getting ready to have the Alabama Blitz coming up in February. Then in March, I was working on that today, we're going to have what we call the Chaplain's Retreat. So we're busy about the Father's business. So I appreciate this church. Y'all got a beautiful building here. Isn't that a wonderful thing, a beautiful building? I know you prayed about it a lot. I think Brother Jerry Peacock did this or had a big part in it. I was with him just last week, and so he said he helped build this. And so it's a beautiful building. Thank the Lord for it. I want you to turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. I was talking to your pastor. He had called me, and he said he wasn't going to be here tonight. He's going to be sick, but he's going to watch on live stream, so there's going to be a camera here. So anyway, I told him I was going to give him a big smile on the television. I might even slick back my hair a little bit since it's on television and everything. So I'll give him about a $50 smile, so that ought to be a real blessing. But anyway, I appreciate your pastor. Appreciate him allowing me to come here, and I appreciate his burden for the souls of men right here in this area and across the United States and around the world. So thank God for this church. Psalm 142, we're going to read verse 1 through 7. And in reverence to God, reverence to His Word, let's stand, please. Psalm 142, if you're able to stand, we'd like for you to. If you're not, we understand that. But Psalm 142 and verse 1, the psalmist said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Verse 5 says, I cried unto Thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Verse 7, bring my soul out of prison. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's pray. My Father, we do love You. You're more than worthy of our praise, honor, and glory. And we're just thankful for the goodness of God. It's not by our might. It's not by our power, but it is by the Spirit of God. So You said, call upon Me, and I'll answer Thee and show Thee great and mighty things Thou knowest not. So, Lord, speak to our hearts today through Your Word. Just give us exactly what's needed. I know that every person has special needs in their heart and their life. And I pray You'll supply those needs, whether they're spiritual or emotional or physical or financial needs, You're more than able to supply the needs. Continue to bless this dear pastor, his family, this dear church. Thank You for them being so minded, so conscious, so winning. I'm glad they got a burden to go to their community this coming Saturday and try to reach souls for Christ. So have Your willing way and show Yourself real strong. And we'll thank You now because You're worthy. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice verse 1 with me. The psalmist said, I cried unto the Lord. In verse 7 says, bring my soul out of prison. I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled, Hearing the Cry of the Prisoner. Hearing the Cry of the Prisoner. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the psalmist David wrote this psalm. When I think about David, I do not think of him as a prisoner, but I do think of him as the son of Jesse. I thought about this. God sent Samuel there to anoint the next king. And he didn't go to the oldest. God didn't choose the oldest. God didn't choose the middle one. God chose the youngest one. Isn't that something? He was the least of his brethren. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God used the least things. You don't have to be the oldest. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the wealthiest. If you're faithful to God, God will use you. Amen? So here's a young man right here. He was the son of Jesse, the least of his brethren, but God used him in a mighty way. Secondly, I think about David as a shepherd. As a shepherd, normally the least boy would take care of the father's sheep, and that's exactly what he did. And so he knew what it was to be a shepherd, to take care of sheep, to guide them, to direct them, to feed them, and to protect them. But he also knew that he had a heavenly father who was a shepherd to him, who guided him and directed him and fed him and led him and protected him. And so I believe he could be the one who definitely wrote Psalm 23 when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." So when I think about David, I think about him being the son of Jesse. I think about him being a shepherd that God anointed in a tremendous way. Thirdly, I think about David as a statesman. When Samuel went to anoint one of Jesse's sons, he went from the oldest and to the youngest. And actually, David wasn't even there at the time. He was taking care of sheep. So he said, "Do you have another son?" And Jesse said, "I have a youngest son, but he's out tending the sheep." He said, "Bring him here." And God told him to anoint David. So he did. And he becomes a statesman. He became a leader of Israel. Later on, he did. But he was one of the men who God used in a great way in that country. So he became a great statesman. And he built his way up. God used him in a great way. So when I think about David, I think about David as the son of Jesse. David was a shepherd. David was a statesman. God used him in a great way in that country. But also, David was a soldier.
Yes.
I thought about this. I got saved July the 7th, 1981 on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Before I got saved, I was Catholic. I had the head knowledge, but I didn't have the heart knowledge. I knew about God, but didn't have that personal relationship with God. I was religious, but I was lost as I could be. But on July the 7th, 1981, on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m., a young man just opened up his Bible and witnessed to me and showed me that I needed to repent and believe with all my heart and accept the Lord Jesus personally in my life. Well, I knelt down beside my couch at my home. I began to pray in my own words. I said, "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. I come into my heart, come into my life, and save my soul. Lord, I don't understand all that's going on, but I give you my life in the name of Jesus." Well, I went down a sinner, but I come up a saint of God. Amen? And I got saved by the grace of God. I didn't realize it, though. As soon as I got saved, I became a soldier in the army of the Lord. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. But I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. So I think about David was a soldier. You think about this. He grabbed the beard of a lion and then a bear. I tell you what, I'd be a pretty good fighter if I could tear up a bear and a lion. Amen. And so he knew that God was going to deliver him from that giant, the Philistine, Goliath. And so David became a great soldier. Because of that, he became the son-in-law of King Saul. The son-in-law. Saul promised the one who would destroy Goliath that he would become his son-in-law, marry his daughter. And so David did. And basically, he came in and he was there in the palace. He became really the general in the army of Israel. And so he would come in and he would go out. The sad thing is, was this. It wasn't the singing. Of course, the ladies begin to sing, "King Saul killed his thousand, but David killed his 10,000. The jealousy set into King Saul. And that's sad right there when a ruler, a king, would be jealous. And that's what happened. So then David became Saul's prisoner. He was a fugitive. And that's when David wrote this psalm right here when he was running from King Saul. And at the time, he had no army. He had nobody. He was by himself. And so anyway, he was Saul's prisoner. He was a fugitive. He was on the run. But thank God, he was a faithful man. And God used him and exalted him to be the second king of Israel. And then David, through his lineage, came our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when I think about this psalm right here, I don't think about David as a prisoner. even though he was. But I do think about David as the son of Jesse, a shepherd, a statesman, a soldier, a son-in-law, Saul's prisoner, the second king of Israel, and David was in the lineage of our Savior. I want to give you four things that we see right here in this psalm that David had on his heart that I think when he poured it out to God, we can learn from it. Number one, I want you to notice David's condition. In verses 1 through 3, we see David's condition. Number one, underneath that, he cried. If you'll notice verse 1, it says, I cried unto the Lord. You know what that means? It means David was broken. God uses broken things.
Yes.
You think about that. Thank God for men and women. But God, a lot of times, will break us, will break our wheels, so he can mold us and make us and use us for his honor and for glory. Now, I'm not a weightlifter, but my best friend when I was in high school was a weightlifter. His name was Daryl. And so Daryl would actually lift weights on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And what he'd do was he'd lift weights, and basically what he's doing is breaking down his muscles. But then he'd rest one day, and it would build back a little bit stronger. And then he would lift weights and would break down those muscles. But he'd rest today and build back a little stronger. He'd break it down and build it back. You know, that's what God does with us. God will send trials and troubles and difficulties, allow us to go through some hard places so he can break us down to build us up. Break us down to build us up. Break us down to build us up so he can make us and mold us in the image of his dear son. So sometimes it's not easy. That's why David cried. He was broken. And God will use you and God will use me if we're just broken. Broken to our will and alive to the will of God. Secondly, I want you to notice that he complained. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but have you ever complained before? But anyway, David complained. In verse 2, it says, I poured out my complaint before him. You know, I know that we should not complain. But I know sometimes we do have troubles and trials, and God does want to hear from us. You think about this in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and a present help in the time of trouble. So if we complain to each other, listen, I can't help you. I mean, I can help you to some degree, but a lot of times I couldn't help you in your trouble and you can't help me. But I know one who can help us in our troubles. And I believe sometimes God wants us to pour our heart out to him, even in complaint. You know, it's like this. Someone says, never question God. Well, I don't think you ought to question God's character, but there's nothing wrong with asking God a question. I want to learn from the trial or trouble or even from my mistakes. I want God to speak to me. I want God to deal with me. I want God to show me something. And God will do it through his word every time. Isn't that good? So right here, he cried. He was broken. And he complained. He was in trouble. But then also, he was compassed in verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk have they privily laid a snare for me. Listen, the devil's going to try to hinder you and distract you as you try to serve God. That's just all there is to that. And he'll send anything your way. But if you'll notice, verse 3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed. In other words, he was compassed. He was overwhelmed. There's been times in my life, and I believe times in your life too, where it was hard just to understand what God was doing. I heard a preacher say one time, when you cannot trace God's hand, you can trust God's heart. And that's helped me many times. Because sometimes I don't know exactly how God's directing or leading, but I know I can trust him no matter what. When you have a person who passes away with cancer, or have a person, my mom and my dad both passed away this past year. Of course, my dad was 94 and my mom was 87. They lived long life and they were both saved. I had an opportunity to lead both of them to the Lord. I thank God for that. But I tell you what, it still wasn't easy. It still wasn't. I've got a brother right now who's had cancer for 4 years and he's just dwindling away and I hate it. I hate that. And I don't understand all that. But when I can't trace God's hand, I still trust God's heart. And David was overwhelmed. You think about this. He's running from King Saul. One time he worked beside King Saul. So one time he fought with him. One time he lived there, you know, with King Saul's daughter, husband and wife, and he was there at the table. So now he's not there anymore. Now he's on the run. He's from one cave to another cave. Isn't that something? So he was overwhelmed. Have you ever gotten overwhelmed?
Yeah.
So we see David's condition. He cried unto the Lord. He was broken. He complained. He was in trouble. He was compassed. He was overwhelmed. Don't you notice, secondly, his concern? Now, verse 4, I think, is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Isn't that a sad verse? So what he's saying right there is there's no person, there's no place, and there's no provision. That's sad right there. Because you and I both need a person to care for and for them to care for us. Not only that, but we need a place to live and a place to serve God and a place to minister. And then we need provisions. You need provisions? I need provisions. We got physical, spiritual, emotional, financial needs. So right here, David said, I don't have any of that. I don't have a person, I don't have a place, and I don't have provision. And I thought about the prisoner. Many times we go into a prison, and I want to say this, they deserve to be there. Now, there's a few that are innocent. I believe that. But for the most part, they deserve to be there. But there's a reason why they're there. I was witnessing in Rhode Island at a lockup unit in a prison. While I was going to cell, I dealt with a man in his early 60s. And he was a bitter man, a bitter man. Now, he was kind to me, but you could tell there's a bitterness there in his heart and his life. And I said, why are you so bitter? And he said, when he was 12 years old, of course, he was brought up Catholic. There was a priest there that abused him when he was just 12 years old. And he said he's had bitterness toward that man ever since then. Well, I began to witness them and talk to him about the mercy and the forgiveness of the Lord. He realized he was lost, and he called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved. And I said, you need to forgive that man. And he did. And so anyway, God gave him that deliverance. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be there, but there's a reason why he's there. I was at a school one time, and we were doing the character under construction. I had an opportunity to give my testimony about my dad. And I don't want to go into a lot of details, but when I was 12 years old, my dad had started drinking. He was a good fella, but when he drank, he was mean as he could be. But anyway, we come home from school one day, and he was drunk. And before we got there, he and my mom got into it, and my mom's a lady. Got a lot of character about her. But anyway, he hurt my mother. And I'm not going into details. But he tried to kill her, and he almost did. He didn't, but he almost did. So as we were coming in the front door, he was going out the back door. And when we come in there, my mom was laying there in the kitchen. And, of course, she went to the hospital, and they had to do surgery and different things like that. And she was there for a while, but she was able to be okay. And I thank the Lord for that. Well, my dad took off running, and he was gone for about a week. And finally, he turned himself in, and that whole time he thought he killed my mother. He didn't, but he thought he did. So that whole week, that's what he thought. And so anyway, he had to serve time for that. Well, everybody takes things a little bit different, but this is what happened to me. I got hurt. I didn't know how to handle the hurt. So I got unforgiveness in my heart. Then I got bitter. Then I got angry. And then I had hatred toward my dad. So for about 9 years, from the age 12 to the age 21, that's the way I felt about my dad. And my dad didn't make things any better. He would come visit us after he got out of prison, come visit us and during Christmas time and Father's Day. So he'd come visit us during that time. But he'd talk about my mother terrible, and I just couldn't stand it. I'm just telling you. And so he and I didn't get along for 9 years. Finally, I got saved when I was 21 years old. And after I got saved, one of the first things God spoke to my heart said, I forgave you and you're unworthy. And I believe that. He said, now you need to forgive your dad, even though he's unworthy. So I came up to my dad, and he thought we were going to get into it, but we didn't. I just told him that I loved him. I told him that the Lord did save me and God forgave me. And I wanted him to forgive me for the way I acted for 9 years. And I wanted him to know that I forgave him for what he did to our family. 2 years later, I witnessed my dad for 2 years. 2 years later, he moved back to town and he lived with me for a little while. And I witnessed to my dad. I had an opportunity to lead my daddy to the Lord. I shared that to that prisoner out there. And he got broken over that. And anyway, he did get saved and he forgave that priest. I was also witness to another young fella, and he wasn't but about 19 years old, and his dad abused him. And I don't know all the details, but his dad abused him, and he had tattoos all over him. He had the tears right here. He had tattoos on his face, his neck, on his arms. Anyway, I witnessed to him, And he knew the Lord had been dealing with his heart, and he got saved. I was, we were in a locked up unit going to cell to cell. And normally, when they bring supper in, they bring it in a little tray, and they bring it in, you know, open that little flap door. And so we have to leave. Or normally they'll ask us to leave, the inmates will, and come back later. Well, there was two men I had been witnessing to, and the officers put those trays in there, and they set it aside. He said, "Listen, I know it's supper time." Both of them said this. "But we want you to continue on talking because God's been dealing with the heart. We want to know what you got to say." So anyway, I got to witness them for about 20 minutes, and both of those men called on God, repentance and faith, and got saved. They got some spiritual meat. Say amen right there. So thank the Lord for that. There was another time I was witnessing to a fella, and I didn't know it, but his roommate was sitting on the bunk. I couldn't see him. I was just looking through a little window, and I was witnessing to him, and he got saved. Well, all of a sudden, I heard another amen. And so the fella got up and he said, "I know my roommate got saved," but he said, "I heard every word you said and I got saved too." So I had two saved, didn't even know it. Thank the Lord for that. So it's amazing how God saves old sinners. We were working a prison there in Missouri, and we had a good number of people in the service. And there was a fellow there named David. He was 76 years old. And he was sitting in a wheelchair and he was sitting in the very back. And as one of the preachers was preaching and gave the invitation, and he raised his hand, being lost. I went back there to him. I said, "How can I help you?" He said, "I'm tired of my life and my lifestyle." He said, "I'm ready to give my heart to the Lord." 76 years old, he called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved. So all I'm saying is this. David was concerned. He said there was no person, there was no place, and there was no provisions. And I know that the prisoners, they're in there because of wrong, but there's a reason why they did something wrong. A lot of times it's because of the way they were brought up. I want to give you the third thing. We see his condition, we see his concern, but thirdly, we see his comfort. If you'll notice in verse 5 and 6, David said, "I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." I want you to notice, thirdly, his comfort. If you'll notice right here, he had faith in the Lord in verse 5. He said, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion." In verse 4, he said, "There is no refuge." In verse 4, "There is no portion." In verse 4, "There's no person, no place, no provision." But in verse 5, he took his eyes off his circumstance and put his eyes on Jesus. And brother, he realized the Lord was his refuge. And the Lord was his strength, and the Lord was his provisions. And I'll be honest with you, this world does not like you and me. They just don't. And so I'm telling you, if you're looking to the world, they'll let you down in a heartbeat. So we got to keep our eyes on Jesus because he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. So I want you to notice he had faith in the Lord. When you and I get discouraged, we can still trust him. When you and I go through circumstances beyond our control, we can still trust him. When the world turns their back on the Lord, we can still trust him. When maybe mother or father or brother or sister or even husband or wife, they may leave you, but the Lord will never leave you. We can trust him. So right here, he had faith in the Lord. Then he had fight with the Lord. And I don't mean he was fighting with the Lord, but he is fighting with the Lord. In other words, the Lord was his general. The Lord was the one who is fighting his battles. I'll be honest with you, we're in a spiritual warfare, and I can't handle the battle, but I know of one who can. You can't defeat the devil. You can, and I can't either. We're no match for the devil, but the devil's no match for God. All I know is I'm glad I'm on the winning side. And so thank the Lord that we can fight with the Lord. We're on the Lord's side. We're fighting with God. We're on the winning side. And one of these days, thank God, we're not going down, but we are going up. Amen? So thank the Lord that the comfort is faith in the Lord, fight with the Lord, and then fears on the Lord. If you think about this, David said, "Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." So he had some fears. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, for the child of God, we are to fear God, reverence God, just know He's God. And I like the young people, they say, He's awesome. Well, that's a pretty good word. Amen. He is. He is awesome. I don't know about other things that are awesome, but I know God is. Amen. And so we are to fear the Lord and that we reverence God because He is a great God and He's an awesome God. So we see David's comfort, faith in the Lord, fight with the Lord, and fears on the Lord. I want you to notice the fourth thing. Not only do we see his condition, he cried to the Lord. He was broken. He complained. He was troubled. He was compassed. He was overwhelmed. Secondly, his concern. No person, no place, no provision. Thirdly, his comfort. Faith in the Lord. Fight with the Lord. Fears on the Lord. But fourthly, his cause. There's a reason. There's a purpose. There's a plan. I want you to notice in verse 7, bring my soul out of prison. There's a reason why David wanted God to hear and answer that prayer. If you notice, David physically was not in prison. But he did feel like spiritually he was. He said, bring my soul out of prison. And I believe David was a saved man. But I do believe that he was away from his family and away from his home. He was away from the tabernacle. And so therefore, he felt like he was in bondage. He was being pursued by his own father-in-law. He was actually running for his life. So he felt like his soul was in a prison. And so he asked God to bring his soul out of prison. And I thought about this. When a person's lost, their soul is in prison. When a person's saved but backslid, they're in prison. They don't have that power to overcome until they get right with the Lord. And even when we're persecuted, we may feel like we're in a prison. And that's the way David felt. But there's a reason why he wanted God to take his soul out of prison. Number one, it says that I might praise thy name. He just wanted to worship God. Amen. I tell you what, there's been times, and I feel good liberty as I preach right now, but there has been times, if you ever was a preacher, there's been times where there's not liberty to preach. And you feel like you're just bound. You feel like you can't go anywhere. And sometimes, and I hate to say this, but sometimes when we pray, we don't feel like it's going past the ceiling. And so there's sometimes we feel like our soul is in prison. Could be our own sin, so we've got to confess it and forsake it. We don't lose our salvation, but we can lose fellowship and we can lose communication. So we want that restored. And then there's times where we're just going through trials and troubles and we feel like we're bound. But anyway, David said, bring my soul out of prison, I might praise thy name. I don't know about you, but he's more than worthy of our praise. I think about this past summer in the month of June, God has begun to deal with my heart about Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I've known that verse ever since I've been saved. But God began to reveal some things to me in this way. Sometimes I do seek the Lord, but I think more of the seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. While I'm seeking the Lord, I'm thinking about all these things. That's what I'm thinking about. So I'm really not seeking Him first. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, why don't you just worship me a while? So I turned to Psalm 103. You don't have to turn there, but I turned to Psalm 103. And the Lord began to minister to me about just putting Him first and just worshiping Him a while. And then all these things shall be added unto me. So instead of me being so concerned about the things, I got concerned about Him. And when I started getting concerned about Him, He got concerned about me. And then things started coming. Amen. So anyway, the Lord in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all those that are oppressed. Then I think about verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenty of mercy. Think about verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. I don't know about you, but that's a good verse. That's how much He's forgiven us. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, so His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east from the west, He's removed our sins and transgression. Isn't that good? And so, like a father pitieth his children, So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, if you have children, I know when they're young, you have to discipline them. And you've heard that saying, it hurts me more than it hurts you. Well, it's hard to prove that when that kid's crying and he's screaming and all that. And you say, well, it hurts me more than it hurts you. But really, it does hurt a parent to have to discipline their children. But you know, my children are out of the house. My youngest one just turned 24 and my oldest one's 30 years old. So they're out. It's a little bit different now. If they were to make a mistake or make a wrong decision, I don't get mad at them, but I do hurt for them. And I thank God, he doesn't really get mad at us. He doesn't like our sin, but I do think he hurts for us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I don't know about you, I'm just glad God has mercy upon his children, aren't you? So David just wanted to praise the Lord. And then, back in Psalm 142, verse 7, not only that, he wanted to position himself with the Lord's people. It says, bring my soul out of prison. Why? What cause? What reason? That I might worship thy name, that the righteous shall compass me about. He just wanted to be with God's people. You know, some people go through trials, and I don't know why, but they go away from the house of God instead of coming to the house of God. I don't know about you, but you need your pastor more than ever. You need the congregation more than ever. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ more than ever. So don't run away, run to. Amen. Don't get embarrassed. They hurt for you. I'm glad we pray together. I'm glad we sing together. I'm glad we preach together. I'm glad we call on God together. I'm just glad we're together. Amen. Some of you say, well, I don't want to be together. Well, when you get to heaven, if you're saved, you're going to be together. Amen. And so, you know, I thought about this. I know everybody don't agree with everybody all the time. How many of you ever changed your mind? You don't even agree with yourself all the time. Amen. So I think we can get along pretty good since we don't agree even with ourselves. But anyway, he just wanted to position himself with the Lord's people. He wanted to be with God's people. He wanted to be back at the tabernacle. And then lastly, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. So his cause was to praise the Lord, to position himself with the Lord's people, and to prepare himself to receive the Lord's blessings. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord's blessings. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless my wife and my children. And my oldest daughter is going to have her first grandchild in April. So I want the Lord to bless a grandchild too. Amen. I'm so old, I needed a grandchild a long time ago. And I'm glad I'm going to have one. Amen. So anyway, it's just something about them grandchildren. I don't know what it is. I think they can spoil them and send them back home. I think that's the benefit of that. All I know is this, hearing the cry of the prisoner. God hears the prisoner's cry. He just does. There was a fellow that I was witness to in a jail. He had no arms. I mean, none. I don't know how he ate. I don't know how he took care of himself. I have no idea. But when I preached, there were several of them. There was about 15 of them right there, and about six of them got saved. But I saw him with no arms, none. He had no arms. He had nothing right there. He had bowed down like this. And he just prayed to God and he repented of his sins and asked the Lord to save him. Thought about this. One day he's going to have a glorified body. I was witness to an older gentleman at Columbia Care Center. And his name was Peter. And began to witness to him. He was brought up Catholic. And I shared my testimony and had opportunity to lead him to the Lord. When I looked down there at his bed, he had no legs. But one day he'll have legs. One day he'll have a brand new body. Hearing the cry of the prisoner, I thought about this. If you got a lost loved one, they're in the prison of sin. If you work with people that are lost, they're in the prison of sin. The prisoners in a jail or in a county jail or in a regular state prison, we'll be going to a county jail the next couple days. They're bound in their sins. Are you hearing the cry of the prisoner? I thought about this. If you're serving the Lord out of duty, then you're not hearing the cry of the prisoner. If you're serving the Lord because it's something mechanical that you just do, you're not hearing the cry of the prisoner. If you're serving the Lord because you feel like that's a job or a vocation, you're not hearing the cry of the prisoner. It's a ministry and it's not a vocation. And I thought about this. I know I've been in full-time ministry and Brother Steve has too, and I'm sure others have too. But if you're saved, you're in full-time ministry. You really are. And you have an opportunity to be a servant of the Lord. And we are to be that shining light. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the witness. So you may not be called to preach. You know women aren't called to preach. Of course, I heard one preacher said, now my wife does not preach in the pulpit. But she does preach at home. She got a strong delivery and she's uncompromising in her stand. Or in her stand is what I meant to say. So anyway, so we can be a witness. We can be a testimony, hearing the cries of the prisoner. Hearing the cry of the prisoner. Let's stand, if you would, with your head bowed and the eyes closed. My Father, we thank you in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man come to seek and save that which was lost. In John 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Lord, we thank you for a church like this that's got a burden for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls right here in the community. And then around the world through their mission program. And I do pray for the prisoners, hearing the cry of the prisoners. There's prisoners right here in this community that are in a prison of sin. They're lost and undone, and they need to be delivered. We need to hear their cry. There's those that are actually literally in a prison. We need to hear their cry. I think about those that are on a foreign field that are lost and undone, especially in a third world country. We need to hear their cry. I think about the son, the daughter who's not saved. We need to hear their cry. I think about a mother, daddy that's not saved. We need to hear their cry. I think about a cousin or a relative, aunt or uncle not saved. We need to hear their cry. I think about those in the neighborhood, those that we work with, that we spend a lot of time with at work. We need to hear the cry of the prisoner. So, Lord, speak to every heart, work in every life, deal with every soul. Help us to hear the cry of the prisoner. Give us a fresh burden for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed, preacher, I realize tonight that I do have a head knowledge, but I do not have a heart knowledge. Preacher, I realize I know about God, but I don't have that personal relationship. Preacher, I realize that I'm religious, but I'm lost. Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I am not sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. If you're not sure, or if you just don't know that you're saved, would you raise your hand for prayer? Just slip it up. Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Anybody at all? Preacher, I know I'm saved. I remember when God convicted me and dealt with my heart. I truly repented of my sins. I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There's been a change in my life. I died right now. I know I'm going to heaven. Preacher, I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand real high? Thank you so much. You can put your hand down. Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I have to admit, there's some things in my life, could be a sin, could be a weight, that's hindering my walk with God. And there's some things in my heart, my life, I know I need to get right with God. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand real high? Just slip it up. Thank you. Anybody else? Just slip it up. Just be honest with the Lord. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Preacher, I have to admit, at one time I was pretty zealous about witnessing, but I've gotten a little bit cold and indifferent concerning witnessing. I don't really hear the cry of the lost man like I used to. I don't have that burden like I did at one time. And I need that burden. I need a fresh burden. I need that burden to hear the cry of the prisoner. Please pray for me. Would you slip up your hand real quickly? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If God has spoken to your heart about hearing the cry of the lost man, the lost woman, boy, girl, hearing the cry of the prisoner. In fact, the Lord might even lay somebody on your heart right now about you need to pray for that person. Could be in your family. Could be on the job. Could be someone that you live in the neighborhood with. Could be somewhere in this community right here. If God's spoken to your heart at all about hearing the cry of a lost man, a lost woman, a lost boy, a lost girl, maybe the school that you go to, there's a lot of lost people there. Would you come to this altar and pray for them right now? If God spoke to you, would you come right now? If the Lord's dealt with you at all, just come. If you've got a need right now, could be a spiritual need, a physical need, financial need, emotional need. Why don't you come right now? If you got a person that God maybe just spoke to your heart about that you want to pray and give them and put them on the altar of God, would you come right now? If there's a burden for a mother or a dad or a son or a daughter or a brother or sister, you know they're not living right. You know they're not right with God. You know they're not. And you just want to bring them to this altar. Would you come right now? If God has spoken to you, if God is dealing with you, maybe you can do more concerning visitation. Maybe you hadn't gone on visitation in a long time. Maybe you're not praying for your pastor or for this church like you used to. Or maybe you're not as faithful as you once were. Whatever your need is, God is more than able to supply those needs. Could be a spiritual need. Maybe you're not in the Word like you used to be, memorizing, meditating on it, hearing it, reading it, studying it. Maybe you need to come. Whatever your need is, why don't you come right now? If God's spoken to your heart, hearing the cry of the prisoner.
There's still time to come. People still doing business for the Lord down here, so just pray where you stand right there. All right. Well, I tell you what, we kind of got started a little bit late, but I think we did real good, didn't we? Okay. That's good, John. Thank you so much. And I bet going home won't be as challenging as getting here, will it? At least I sure hope not. And wasn't that a good message? And Brother David and I, we've been friends for, yes, I went to Bible college in 81, Brother David, and then you showed up 2 years later. And we've been knowing each other ever since, and just terrific fellowship. And Brother David's been real faithful to minister. He really has. And so I sure am glad that he's here tonight. And he'll come back around sometime, maybe. You get down to Columbia at least once or twice a year, don't you? And so I know a good church he can come visit. Yeah. Now, the church is going to take care of Brother David tonight, so y'all been giving, and we'll take care of Brother Rolf tonight. But how many of you will pray for him as he goes forward there? Keep on praying. How many pray for others? Just pray one for another. Pray for our pastor. Miss Gail's still sick. She's getting a lot better. Brother Tyndall texted me. He had to work late. He couldn't come tonight. And there's probably others that are sick. And so let's pray, like I said, one for another, and all the activities this weekend. Let me say, if all of y'all would check your emails pretty regular, like anything could happen, and if you could just check your email maybe once every other day or so, or every day if you can, and just see if we send out messages about things. Pastor called me earlier this evening and said, send out an email, Brother Steve, about the roads. That I don't know. Did anybody see that email I sent? Wow, that's great. Okay. You're looking at your emails. So I appreciate that. Well, so good to see you. I'm glad you made it tonight. Let's pray one for another. Ladies leaving out of here Saturday morning at 7:30 sharp. Men, young men, meet here at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. Go door knocking. And Sunday school at what time? 9:30. So we'll all be here for Sunday school, won't we? Yeah, amen. Maybe Brother Roth won't be here, but he'll be somewhere for a Sunday school. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the message tonight. Lord, I love it when a